Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. The Power of Powerlessness. Today in Advanced. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Peter, and you are joining us today, Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, for our management article for the month of January. We hope your new year has been going well so far. We think that this management article is going to speak to you whether or not you are an actual manager in your employment, whether you are a leader of some sort, because as we often see, we are all leaders in some way to some people in our lives. So I always personally think these management articles have something, have a bit of wisdom or insight or news for all of us, not just those of us who have manager on our business card, as it were. But the article is called The Power of Asking for Help. The Power of Asking for Help, with the deck there, Strategic Vulnerability Can Make Leaders More Effective and Trusted. So we are going to unpack this idea today, read through the article, talk about the ideas, but even more importantly, talk about the English in it, talk about the vocab in it so that you all can have a chance to hear English being spoken, understand it better, and grow in your confidence in English. And when I say we, of course, I mean myself and my co-panelist joining us for both days here. Please welcome to the studio, Gabe. Hello, Gabe.
Oh, I can hear people clapping, Peter.
Oh, yes. We need to get a little canned applause
cue of some sort.
I'd like to welcome Gabe.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Peter, and everybody. It's great to be here. And thank you for asking me to help teach this article.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm already tapping into that power, the power of asking for help. But as I've said, the article, management article, is about leadership and qualities of leadership. So, Gabe, I'm just wondering, what would you say is for you a key factor in being a good leader? I think we all agree that there's more than one, but what would you say is, you know, really important for you personally?
Ah, there are so many things that make a good leader, but one word that comes to mind is consistency. Mm. When employees feel that somebody is getting special treatment or being treated in a different way, whether it's better or worse, and there's not a standard that the boss is abiding by, that can come across as inconsistent, and that can really affect the trust that the employees have for their management.
Yes, yes.
So I think consistency is really important. Of course, you know, it's not always easy to enforce policies. There may be some policies that you as a manager or CEO don't even like. But the fact is, if your company has agreed on them with HR and everybody involved, then you're at least consistent with them. And I think those are the kinds of things that can really keep morale up. And morale is maybe one of the most important things in any organizational environment.
Sure, sure.
That's the atmosphere, the overall feel or vibe of the company and the people working together. And so you want to keep morale up.
Right. Morale, M-O-R-A-L-E, looks like moral, but with an E on the end. And the terms are not completely unrelated. But yeah, the spirit of something.
Well, what about you, Peter? Like, there are so many leadership qualities. So what comes to your mind?
Yeah. For me, there are many. And I would not say that a good leader is reducible to just a single quality. But for me, the one I always look for is passion for the goal.
Okay.
Passion for what we're headed towards. That's not something a leader always has the luxury of having. Sometimes we find ourselves in leadership positions towards goals that we are perhaps lukewarm towards. You know, if we're in a position that we've risen to a role of leadership, then obviously we have some interest in the goal or the project or the vision that we're trying to help bring about. But when a leader is particularly enthusiastic about the project, and you can just feel that enthusiasm when they talk about it, when they lead you in moments big and small, not just when he's giving a vision casting speech to, you know, 100 employees or something, but even in the moment-to-moment interactions when you can just pick up on how excited that leader is to be working towards this goal, how much it means to them personally, because as we say in the theater anyway, maybe they say it in other fields too, but we have a saying in the theater, passion is contagious. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the presence of someone who's excited about something, it makes you excited about it too. Even if you perhaps were not before, or maybe you never even thought about it. But to me, yeah, consistency, definitely, like you said, but also passion for the goal, that it's not just, you know, a job for them, but this is something really personally meaningful to them.
Right. Yeah. Because the energy that they bring to
exactly.
the task or the task force, you know, everybody who's involved will really make a difference.
Right. Right. And it's not saying I want the leader to be bouncing off the walls all the time, like they've just drunk too much coffee or something, but just to have, you know, to be able to pick up on that enthusiasm that they have for the project. It expresses itself in many ways. As long as it's there, I'll pick up on it sooner or later, and that will help motivate me. Mm-hmm. But we now have to get motivated to read the first section of our article. For today's article, as I said, this is a two-day article. For today's article, we'll do two readings, taking a break a little past midway through. And you can read along with us, opening your magazine, if it isn't already, to the management article for January. Starting on the 28th of January, The Power of Asking for Help. Let's go into our first reading now.
The Power of Asking for Help. Strategic vulnerability can make leaders more effective and trusted. There's a myth that to be a good leader, you need to be the smartest person in the room. Many leaders struggle to admit they don't have all the answers. They're reluctant to ask for help and end up struggling in silence. This reluctance is normal. It's a fear-based response to not wanting to look incompetent to your team or superiors. But there is a way to ask for help that strengthens your position as a leader rather than undermines it. What you gain when you ask for help. Reluctance to ask for help isn't just pride. It's often about perception. One study found that male leaders risked being perceived as less competent when they asked for a lot of help. In contrast, their female counterparts didn't experience a significant drop in perceived competence. Researchers cautioned that it isn't actually whether or not you ask for help, but how you ask. The same study noted that asking for help is critical for leaders to learn and improve. The benefits far outweigh the perceived risks. Harvard Business School researchers Allison Wood Brooks and Francesca Gino found that when we ask others for advice, they view us as more competent. It signals that we value their expertise and don't overestimate ourselves, which is a sign of self-awareness.
Okay, so a good, just let's unpack that term in the deck here, just because it is kind of a mouthful, and it's something we'll talk about later in the article as well to in more depth, but strategic vulnerability can make leaders more effective and trusted. Gabe, how would you describe strategic vulnerability?
Well, being vulnerable is kind of opening yourself up to the possibility of harm or
yes.
an attack.
Yes.
That's what being vulnerable means, whether you're in war or in a conversation or a public figure and you're sharing something that people might disagree with. Mm-hmm. Anything that you say or do that in the future could possibly be used against you kind of makes you vulnerable.
Right. Physically or emotionally, as you say.
Yeah. So now, this is interesting because whenever I see the word strategic added onto something, sometimes I think I go a negative direction. Sometimes I think, okay, well, if you're being intentional about this, that means maybe you're being manipulative in some way, right? If you're being, if you're strategizing, you're still controlling the situation, even though you're appearing vulnerable. Now, I don't think that in this case that it's a bad thing to strategize your vulnerability. I think that as leaders, you have to use, you have to see vulnerability as a tool in your toolkit of leadership.
To be employed strategically, to be employed not just willy-nilly, as we say, indiscriminately, sort of without thinking, without consideration. Be strategic in how you make yourself vulnerable, I think, is what the author is talking about here. But like I say, there's a section on it later. We'll talk about it more in depth there. But just wanted to establish those two words at the start since they are kind of a mouthful. But in the article itself, in our first section here, it begins by saying, Gabe, that there is a myth out there, a myth, which is something that is a story that explains something to a society, to a people, and sometimes it's real, but usually there's a sense that it's not really real, even if it expresses a truth of some kind. What is the myth that we're talking about here?
Well, that in order to be a good leader, you need to be the smartest person in the room. That's the myth. The fact is, a lot of people believe it, and so that's why it's called a myth, right?
Right, right. Well, not necessarily why it's called a myth. I think the author is saying it's a myth because it's not necessarily true.
It's not necessarily true.
We just said that a myth can be used to express a truth, but usually not from something that actually is true itself.
Yeah.
Like the ancient Greek gods, Zeus and Apollo and all those other gods that you saw in the Thor movies, is, you know, even the Greeks themselves didn't believe those people were real, but the personalities and the stories of them were used to express truths about real human beings.
Sure, yeah. So here, I mean, here in our lesson, like, it's not real, but I think when we say, like when we read an article where it says there are these myths about something, then it's probably going to be followed by, you know, why it's not real. But the fact is, they have become myths because so many people believe them and believe them to be true.
Right, right. But our author here is saying that it is a myth that to be a good leader, you need to be the smartest person in the room. Goes on to say that many leaders, because of this belief, whether or not it is a myth, because of this belief, this conviction that you need to be the smartest person in the room if you're a leader, many leaders struggle to admit that they don't have all the answers. They're reluctant to ask for help, reluctant, you know, meaning they are hesitant, they are uncomfortable with asking for help, and they end up struggling in silence. Now, our author goes on to say that this reluctance is normal. It is a fear-based response to not wanting to look what, Gabe?
Yeah, you don't want to look incompetent to your team or to your superiors, basically to anybody in your company. I think competence is one of those traits that is really important. In any job, whatever you're doing, you want to be able to do it well. You want to know what you're doing. That is having competence. The reality is, at the beginning, a lot of times when people come into or start doing a new job, they don't have the competence they need right away, which is why they need managers or good leaders to diagnose what kind of leadership style they need. Do they need a more directive leadership style where the manager is telling them everything that they need to do every step along the way to develop that competence? Or maybe the worker is a little more competent from the beginning, and so they just need a more supportive leadership style. But in any situation, competence is a big goal.
Right, right. And the author reminds us, too, that leaders don't just have to answer to the team that they're leading, the people that they're leading. They may often have superiors, other leaders that they need to answer to as well. And so it can be natural. It can be understandable. The author is sympathetic to people in leadership positions who hesitate to ask for help when they need help. But that it is a understandable response, but there is a way to ask for help that strengthens your position as a leader rather than undermines it. Now, this is an interesting claim by the author because they are saying, Alexis Zahner, the author of this piece, that actually is a name that could be either a man or a woman, I think. So it's hard to say about the gender here, but we'll just say our author is saying that asking for help as a leader can strengthen your position, not just give you the help you need, but actually strengthen your position rather than undermine it. Good word there, undermine, meaning to gradually make someone or something less strong or effective. In this case, the leader's own leadership ability and their position in the company. So it goes on then in this next section, what you gain when you ask for help. Reluctance is to ask for help isn't just pride. Pride, you know, being too proud to ask for help. I don't need help. I know everything, and or at least I'm the leader, so I'm supposed to know everything.
Yeah, there's
so
always
I'll behave
that
way.
Kind of joke that, you know, when a couple is driving somewhere and the man is in the driver's seat, you know, and they're lost, he's not going to stop and ask for directions.
Right.
And that's
right.
His pride.
That sadly is his pride. Yeah. Pride, yeah. It can be good. Pride can be a good thing to have pride in an accomplishment, but there is also the pride that says, you know, that's just ego that says, you know, I'm too good for this. But reluctance to ask for help isn't just pride. It's often about perception, the way we see things, not just with our eyes, but also with our minds, perception. And so it goes on to introduce this study. One study found what, Gabe?
Yeah, male leaders risked being perceived as less competent when they asked for a lot of help. And we see a contrast here. Their female counterparts didn't experience a significant drop in perceived competence. So maybe this is reflecting a reality, Peter, that when a guy leader is asking for help, there is actually a perceived weakness. Mm-hmm. From other people, mm-hmm. Whereas when a lady asks for help, that, you know, people don't perceive it as weakness as much.
Right, right. So we said just a moment ago that reluctance to ask for help could be pride, but there is apparently evidence that there may be an objective reality to it, not just a feeling in myself, I don't want to ask for help because it'll make me look bad, but that may be a dynamic that is at play, particularly in male leaders who can be perceived as being less competent when they ask for help. Researchers, it says in the next paragraph, cautioned, they warned us, keep this in mind, researchers cautioned that it isn't actually whether or not you ask for help, but how you ask. And it goes on to say that the same study we just heard about noted something else. What was that, Gabe?
Yeah, asking for help is critical for leaders to learn and improve. So we read here, the benefits far outweigh the perceived risks. There are more advantages to asking for help than there are disadvantages.
Exactly. So that's one thing to answer the question of the subhead here, what you gain when you ask for help. One thing you gain is the ability to learn and improve and do better in your job. Now, that's kind of obvious, really, but it can be something we lose sight of when asking for help, particularly, apparently, if we are men in a leadership position. It goes on to say that Harvard Business School. A couple of researchers at Harvard Business School, Allison Wood Brooks and Francesca Gino, they found that when we ask others for advice, others view us as more competent. Now, this was interesting to me as well, because this is another thing you gain when you ask for help. Besides just getting the information or the support that you need, you also appear more competent simply by asking someone for help.
And the reason has to do with self-awareness.
Yes.
Because I think we can all think of people in life, whether people we know or political figures, who we would say are not very self-aware. They don't know their their strengths from their weaknesses. And so we would say, oh, they're not competent in that area, that area of emotional intelligence. However, self-awareness is a trait of really high EQ.
Right.
And so in that sense, it does make a person pretty competent.
Right. It shows that we have a level of self-awareness, but it's interesting that it also makes other people view us as more competent, because asking them for help signals to them that we value their expertise and don't. So in a way, asking someone for help is a sort of under-the-table way of complimenting them.
Yes, exactly.
You know, of acknowledging that they have a knowledge or skill or experience or perspective that I don't have. And would you, you know, in your wonderful, kind spirit, would you share it with me? That's flattering to the person who is being asked for help.
Yes.
Anyway, there's a third thing we'll go on to see that you gain when you ask for help. Again, the first two is you get the basic practical information that you need to solve the problem. And the second one is that you can be viewed as more competent simply by asking someone for help. Let's go into our second reading now and learn about an additional thing that you get when you ask for help. Let's go to our second reading now.
Asking for help is also likely to yield better performance results. By utilizing the knowledge and insight of your team, you expand your collective problem-solving capacity. Leveraging people's strengths to solve complex problems is the hallmark of a competent leader. Learning to practice strategic vulnerability. This is a term for what effective leaders do when they admit they don't know everything. Strategic vulnerability. Asking questions positions you to lead through vulnerability because you demonstrate that it has a purpose to empower others, utilize their expertise, build trust, and spark collective solutions. Harvard professor Amy Edmondson says the admission of, "I might miss something here, I need to hear from you," lays a foundation of a psychologically safe environment.
Okay, so Gabe, we learned here, like I say, about an additional thing that you gain when you ask for help, or that you're likely to gain. Right there at the first paragraph of our second section, it says, asking for help is also what?
It's likely to yield better performance results. So you're more... you're probably going to get better results in your work.
Right. You're probably going to be more productive. You're probably going to make more progress on your goal by asking for help rather than not asking for help, but just allowing people to continue to think that you're this super leader who never needs to ask for help. That actually will likely be less productive in terms of your overall performance. So I like that there's a wonderful practical benefit to asking for help that the article points out here, in addition to just, you know, because it makes you a more self-aware person, as important as that is. It's nice to see that there is evidence also that it leads to better performance. And goes on to say, by utilizing, big long word there, basically just means to use something, to utilize it. By utilizing the knowledge and insight of your team, you expand your collective problem-solving capacity, your collective, meaning how what you do together as a group, as a collective, collected together into a group, you have a greater problem-solving capacity or ability than you would individually. And I think that's basically common sense in terms of the idea, just, you know, some big words here to navigate through. So what you can do, it goes on to say, is leverage people's strengths to solve complex problems, and that is the hallmark of a competent leader. Two good vocab words there, Gabe. Walk us through them.
Well, leveraging, that is such a powerful thing, first of all, and you need to know the definition. So this is the idea of using your resources, whatever it is, whether it's the money you have, the skills you have, any asset that you might have. And it doesn't just have to be related to organizations. It could be in your personal friendships as well. You might leverage something there. It's to use it, again, in several different ways or in different parts of the system basically so that A, you're not wasting it, you're not wasting that stuff, but also you're able to maximize the potential use that you have. And so leveraging in a business, for example, maybe you have a product that is doing well on its own. And so now you're like, well, let's write a book about this product and let's put it on social media and get the word out. And so your marketing is kind of leveraging, you're leveraging marketing, you're leveraging, you know, things for your product to make the most use out of it and get the most out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a physics related term, isn't it? You think of a lever. Or a lever?
It may be, yeah. I didn't study physics in high school, but I'd imagine so.
You know, so you have like this point that is raised off the ground and you put a stick on top of it. If you put the stick in the middle, then of course it's balanced on either side.
Right.
But then if you put the stick on one side, then you need to have the longer side. You need to have it be lighter. And then you need to have the shorter side be heavier in order for it to balance.
Right.
And so I think that's the idea with leveraging as well, is knowing how to get everything up in the air, you know, using the resources you have at hand.
Yeah. No, I think you're actually quite right there with the root word of lever. Hallmark, that other word there, simply means a typical feature or quality that is a sign of someone or something. The hallmark of a competent leader, in this case, is leveraging people's strengths to solve complex problems. And that's not the only hallmark of a competent leader. We talked about some of the other hallmarks at the beginning of the show. Qualities or factors that make a competent leader, but this is certainly one of them. And then in our final section here, learning to practice strategic vulnerability, there's that term again. And the author says that it's a term for what effective leaders do when they admit they don't know everything. That is what our author means by strategic vulnerability. Asking questions positions you to lead through vulnerability because you demonstrate that it has a purpose, which is to empower others, utilize their expertise, build trust, and spark collective solutions. That's some really great ideas there, which we just don't have time to unpack today. But just to make clear, I think the important idea in that line is that strategic vulnerability, as the author is presenting it here, means demonstrating your vulnerability. That is, I don't know what to do here, but that you are doing it with a purpose, not just to, you know, help me, get me out of this situation, rescue my ego, as it were. But no, we have a goal here we need to work towards. That's our purpose. And so I'm letting you know I don't know what to do in this situation so that together we can move forward and make progress in the goal. And I think that is a way to think about what the author means by strategic vulnerability. Gabe, you intimated earlier that it can have a sort of manipulative quality to it, but I think in this case it's more just a selective use of vulnerability, of admitting that you are vulnerability, rather than just sort of walking around waving your hand saying, help, help, help,
right.
I'm drowning.
I think if you know you have these kinds of goals in mind, that's when strategic vulnerability can come in handy. You know, you want to empower others, you want to utilize their expertise, build trust, and spark or create these collective solutions.
Right. And that final line by Harvard professor Amy Edmondson sums it up well by saying that the admission of I might miss something here, I need to hear from you, lays a foundation of a psychologically safe environment. Very important in any business or really any human endeavor. But our endeavor for today has come to an end. We thank you for joining us. Please come back next time for day two of our article, The Power of Asking for Help. But for today, I'm Peter.
And I'm Gabe.
Saying bye-bye.
See you next time.